Good afternoon, and welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And our program is airing live on September 29th, 2019. We are here with the second hour with our guest, Dr. Chen. And just a little programming note, if you are listening to us live and you go to the website, you will notice that it says it's to be announced for today. Not really. We were preempted by a little hacking situation after our program last week, so should have that figured out tomorrow. But for the time being, I won't be able to post the commercial-free archive or any of that. But if you're listening here today and you wanted to hear the program again or send it to someone, you can always go to kcnr1460.com, and it is there for 12 o'clock noon, We the People Radio. So there we go. There's our programming note for today. Okay.
There we are.
And I do hope people will go to the site. You can also, if you're listening today, you can go to September 22nd and read about our guest. He was on the second hour last week, and we just kind of had too much to talk about, so we had to do it again. Dr. Chen, I wanted to ask you that, like, I didn't want to leave the topic that you started at the end of the last hour too quickly, that instead of patriotism, the Chinese government kind of took a spin on that and created like a hatriotism. So in order to be, I guess, support your country, you had to, instead of loving the country you were in, you kind of had to hate the other ones?
Yeah. And don't think that's too far from the reality in this country.
It isn't. It's kind of why I didn't want to leave.
Our love, just contrast some people's love for undocumented or illegal immigrants, contrast that with their hatred to ICE.
Yeah, true.
And contrast their love for one group with how they want to change the history. They would knock out the statues. They, you know, if we think that's still far away from reality, look no further than the Chinese community in the United States. I always say that, you know, the communism or CCP, the Chinese workers, the Chinese Communist Party is the only remaining main communist power in the world. If we think it's far away, think again. That this regime has entered deeply into our country. It has actually destroyed a community, a particular community in our country, the Chinese community. But it's not being recognized. Over the years, many of my friends, you know, Democrats and Republican alike, they have asked me and my Chinese friend to mobilize the Chinese community to vote for their candidate. This very fact indicates that they, you know, Democrats or Republican alike, they're not at all aware of the CCP's utter destruction of the Chinese community in the United States. You know, several programs ago, we talked about the generous barbarism that the CCP uses to influence, you know, our elected officials, the non-Chinese, you know, elected officials, congressmen and you know, business and things like that. Like that, if they have power to influence non-Chinese, you know, elected officials' business, think about it. What you will have to control the Chinese community, right? And we talked about 1,000 talent, you know, the CCP's Grow program to attract professors, you know, scholars and to work for the CCP's interest, right? So there are many reports how they have been used. Well, these are well-off Chinese immigrants. These are the top of, you know, the top of the Chinese community. If they can be manipulated, controlled by the CCP, imagine the plight of less fortunate Chinese immigrants in this country. The hatredism, you know, the CCP's persecution of different Chinese groups has cause a deep divide within Chinese community in this country. Other than their country of origin, now there's not even a Chinese community in the United States to speak of. There exists not a common celebration. It's surprising, right? There's not even our traditional, you know, festival, the spring festival. Different group, different Chinese group would have a celebration, you know. It's not a one celebration. There would be a Taiwanese celebration. There would be, you know, mainland Chinese celebration. Yeah? Even the common festival would be broke up. So there's not a common celebration, not a common cause, not even a common cultural or ethnic event to participate.
Well, I would imagine it's very difficult when you don't know, well, when there's so much infiltration from the CCP right. and all these organizations, you don't really know who you're talking to or what.
They hate each other.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're manipulating to hate each other. How can they celebrate together? The majority of mainland Chinese still immigrants, they hate all those who do not conform to the CCP ideology. So they hate the Falun Gong people. They hate the, you know, the underground church people. They hate Tibetan. They hate Uyghurs, right? And one, you know, the Taiwan immigrants, you know, a portion of Taiwan immigrants refuse to recognize their ties with China. And those who do, you know, recognize their ties with China, then they hate each other. Tibetan Uyghurs, they disdain those from China. So all this mistrust, this hatred has shattered the Chinese community, to the point that no one can even come close to represent even a portion of the Chinese community.
Well, it's a great way to make sure no support for like the students that are protesting or the people in Hong Kong. Right. Let's make sure that there's no support over here because everybody's afraid of who's watching who.
You just said it.
Jeez.
And that's done.
Yeah.
For purpose. The CCP.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, actually.
The CCP is the only force that can, you know, control the Chinese community. You know, we talk about Russian meddling of our election.
Hmm. They got a long way to go before they get to the Chinese Communist Party.
the Chinese Communist Party has gone way beyond that. It has already entered into the fabrics of our Chinese community to control it. And that's the damage. That's done. And yet, we don't even recognize it. And that, you know, just like the Obama administration didn't do enough to, you know, on the, if there's a Russian meddling, it didn't do enough, right? In this case, it definitely didn't do anything.
Yeah,
about
no, nothing.
The CCP's manipulation, the destruction of our Chinese community. Now, if the CCP can destroy one of our community of the United States, it can do more.
Sure.
And yeah, it's the social, the progressive program. They're not too far from the communists. It's a baby step. It's going that direction. Be careful. You know, we're kind of
walking right into it, and then you have our all the people who are falling for this. Hey, let's try socialism here because it'll be great. We'll just do it different and make it better.
We're going to do it different. We won't make all those mistakes.
Oh, man. We have to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. We're obviously chatting about China. And if you have any complaints about the show, I guess you could contact the Chinese Communist Party. Apparently, they're mostly everywhere and available.
Yeah. Apparently, they're listening.
And you could tell them you're not happy with it, but we're going to keep talking about it. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back. I had heard that song before. I just didn't think of it. Nice one. That was added by our engineer. Thanks, Jason. All right. Dr. Chen, what have we missed besides looking maybe a little more at the, I don't even know if it's parallels anymore, but how we are ushering in the United States. How about this? What do you see in some of these other countries? Like, I look at some of these European Union countries and the things that they're going through. And,
well, unfortunately,
kind of having it too.
A lot further along.
Yeah.
They were, you know, a lot further along than the United States. We're very lucky that, you know, this current administration is, you know, turning away from this. In your station, if they're, 8 more years of, you know, Democrat administration, I don't know whether you'll survive or not. You're probably, you know, driven out of existence. So I want to recommend something, but you might have heard of, June might have suggested this to you. Have you heard of the 9 commentaries on the Chinese Communist Party?
No.
Nope.
Ah.
You slipped that by me.
Yeah. It's a, series of 9 commentaries on the way of how the Chinese Communist Party operates. And that is somewhat difficult to understand because it has a lot to do with the Chinese situation. Yet, that is one series of commentary that is very worth reading, and it will open our eyes. And this, I highly recommend. It will wake up a lot of people. And so I will.
Actually, if you just put into a search engine 9 commentaries. It immediately self-completes on the Communist Party. So, apparently,
and
we're the last ones to get the memo.
That is one powerful complication. You know, the CCP, whenever you make some kind of comment on it, you will respond. You know, like hacking your station is your way to respond, right? But this 9 commentary, ever since its publication in 2004, and for the past 15 years, the CCP has no answer for it. That's how much this commentary has revealed in the nature of the CCP, that it has no answer for it. And that, you know, for a Chinese like myself, who has lived, gone through what the real communism is like, it's very easy for me to see through what's going on here. But of course, that involves a wake-up, a process, that I was educated the communist way. I was given misinformation. But fortunately, when I come to this country, I get exposed to facts. So facts is number one, right? And that's why I say media. I cannot emphasize enough how important media is. You know, media is not just regular business. So for one to wake up, then you need facts. And that's why the Chinese Communist Party controls the internet. It just have this gray wall, and that's why I think the Trump administration is so right when they put the internet freedom as a key element into this trade negotiation. That's brilliant, right? So facts, right? But then I'm given the same facts as many other Chinese students. And why are they not wake up? Well, you also need the second element. That's your conscience, your courage. And the human part of it, you know, I mentioned earlier right now that it's a lot easier to, you know, to govern millions of animals, right, or billions, right? And we are right now at the great conflict of dehumanizing versus, you know, keep humanity. The communism and the socialism movement is trying to dehumanize humans. And, you know, our, you know, traditional way, conservative way, our conservative Republican, you know, the conservative represent the traditional way, that uphold our humanity. And it's also a conflict of love and hate. We talk about the hatredism and the love, right? And this is what we're going through. And facts and conscience, those two will wake up people. And those, you require those two. And I'm very fortunate that I was able to make that choice. It wasn't an easy choice. And here is a little story that when I first came to the United States, because I shared about my mother's father, my grandfather, before I came to the United States, he was educated in France. He was one of the earliest Chinese students to be educated in a Western country. And so, because of that, he was persecuted severely. I share that, you know, his story, that when I was about to leave China, he told me to stay away from politics, which I did. Okay? So I was just trying to mind my own business, just studying hard. And actually, there were student movements even before the 1989, there was 1987. So there were students at that time already, involved in that. I stayed away. My friends trying to seek me out to participate, I actually ran away. I hit myself. Nobody can find me because I knew what that is. I tried away from politics. But then in 1989, I can no longer stay away from it. But a key event is when I called my parents. Because I want to be involved, but I want to hear what my parents say. And fortunately, my parents say, well, just follow the majority. Well, it's not. I don't think they did not.
You don't seem like that kind of guy.
What?
You just don't seem like that kind of guy.
No,
it doesn't seem like you would be good at that.
At that time, I was okay. It's just by chance that I don't think they knew what they're saying. Okay, and they were just playing safe, and so they say, okay, just follow the majority. Well, the majority at that time was on the side of the student. And so it was like I got a green light to participate.
Oops.
Well, once I got a green light, there's no return. But I can think that it's completely possible, right, that if they say, just mind your own business, then I think I will have a hard time get participated. Right? So that, and then later experience gave me a important recognition that even as free Chinese in the United States, even when we become American citizens, we have a naturalized citizen, we are not free. As long as we have family members in China, we're not free.
Yeah,
because
I was going to ask you about that.
The government couldn't control us. They couldn't control us, but they will control our family members. And that's what a large number of Chinese Americans are facing. Even if you don't have family member in China, well, you may have business interest in China. Anything that the regime can control, they will use it to control you.
Nothing's off limits.
Early on, I already recognized that even we are in a free country, we're not free. And later, I start to expand that. Even you're not Chinese, even you have no family member in China, you may still not be free. If you're doing business in China, are you free?
Yeah, not really.
No, because they're gonna lean on you if they can.
The other group, I know this happens in lots of countries, but the other group that made that very, very clear were the guys we've talked to several times from the Organization of Iranian American Communities. And they have relatives who are living in exile, and they had come on about the time we signed the Iran deal, and they said if they do that and they give them all that money, they'll execute all the political prisoners, all our relatives will be killed. And I mean, it's just something people in this country are totally unfamiliar with because we haven't done things like that at this point that we know of. I have to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. We're chatting about China today. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
See by your eyes, you must be lying. When you think I don't have a clue, baby, you're crazy. If you think that you can fool me, because I've seen that movie too.
Kind of a slow song, but you know, it might be a good national anthem at some point in the future. Maybe an addendum at some point. It's like, oh yeah, we heard about this. This happened in other countries. We don't want any. Thank you. I don't know. So Dr. Chen, as you're watching all this stuff happening in this country, it's got to be pretty creepy. If these guys get what they want, where do you go from here?
Well, as bad as it is, it could have been much worse if it's not for one group of courageous Chinese. That's the Falun Gong practitioners. the Chinese Communist Party has spent at its height a quarter of national resources on the persecution of Falun Gong. Of course, it hasn't succeeded. In fact, in its 70 years of history, this is the only time that the Chinese government had not succeeded in put down a non-conforming group. Just imagine if that regime can put down that group and then use that resources against the United States, against the rest of the world, what it would be like. That group, the courageous Falun Gong practitioner, also has helped to wake up large number of Chinese citizens away from the indoctrination, venomous indoctrination of the CCP. Right now there are 300 million, close to 400 million Chinese citizens renouncing their membership or their alliance with the CCP affiliated organizations. And that is really their declaration to conscience. And also in the United States, Falun Gong practitioner formed a performing group called the Shen Yin. You might have heard of it. Every year, this group come up with a new program toward the world. This is a Chinese a dance and sing group, but somehow their program, the message they carry, wake up so many people from what's going on. And so these are, I see the hope. And also I see the hope in the wake up of conservatism, that what we're conservative, I mean, we stay true to the traditional value. The value has not been corrupted, has not deviated from what we came from. Right? And I see that as a hope. And I also think it's so important that we give more opportunity to the public to know what's going on in China. There's one important thing that not even the world still doesn't know right now. Even now, they don't know that we think China is the second largest economy. And no one talk about, probably don't even recognize the reality of the Chinese economy. So here I just want to touch very briefly at a very shallow level. That is, you know, communism is called so-called public ownership. And non-communism, like in the United States, in Europe, they're private ownership, right? And so after the former Soviet East Europe bloc country, they defeated, or the communism failed there, there was a transition from public ownership to private ownership. The same transition, even though the Chinese regime calls itself to carry on an economic reform. Well, the reform has taken China to a dead end of another ownership that no one has talked about it. No one probably recognizes it. It's a third kind of ownership, the power ownership. It's neither public nor private. The so-called public ownership is state ownership. But the so-called reform, economic reform, has transitioned what used to be owned by the state into a few hands of powerful politicians. Right now, there are probably 200 families, political families in China, owns the whole China. It's a power ownership. Ownership, the type of ownership determines the economic mold of the society. So private ownership dictates to a market economy. The public or state ownership dictates what we call planned economy or command economy. Right? The power ownership in China dictates neither. China is neither a planned economy nor a market economy. It's a plundering economy. Because these powerful political families, they divide up the China, and they own the government. So the government is used by them not for planning. So there's no planned economy. Right? They use government to plunder more public resources. And the private ownership is no match to the state power. The world may not have paid much attention to several important CEO resignation from top private-owned company. But that's the result of private ownership no match to public or the state power. Right? So it's not a market economy either. So China's economy is really going towards a ruin, and that is not well recognized yet. And I don't know where it would go. I'm hopeful that this trade negotiation will help China, because when President Trump demand China to have structure change in its economy, that structure change may save China, save China's economy from ruin. But we have to, our economists, academic, better to pay attention to this power ownership in China. It's a terrible thing. It's a worse thing that's possible. Yet we are far from recognizing it, and that's the danger of it.
Yeah, they basically never talk about that.
No, they were. It is the economic interests prevent them from seeing it, from talking about it. In fact, not only they don't talk about it, I remember, 5-6 years ago, it's very popular, the so-called China model, the Beijing consensus, books like When China Rules the World, this kind of thing. Well, it's once popular. And think about it. Free world, leader of the free world, singing eulogy to barbarism, to the CCP. It's a scary side. Why? Business interest.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because we're doing business with that barbaric regime. We're engaged in that plundering economy. We're ripping Chinese people off. Well, how do we justify to sing eulogy to it? It's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. One more quick break, and we'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Chen. He's going to be with us till the top of the hour, so we've got like 10 minutes. Can you believe it? You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant. With just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giants calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
There, that can be your theme song.
Oh.
Dr. Chen, I had a question before we get off the Falun Gong. You said there were like 300,000 or 300 million followers. As with everything else, how do you know that the CCP isn't totally infiltrated in that organization?
They did.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Actually, there's 100 million. The Falun Gong was brought to the public in 1992. Right? In China, I can say this. Any group larger than 1,000 people, if there's not a Chinese spy in it, there's the government spy, that would be a miracle.
It's just, right. not a very good group.
I'm not too worried about them.
If you don't have any good spies in your group, you kind of stink at what you're doing.
Yeah. So here is what I go through. This is a personal story. I tell you how far the CCP has gone to infiltrating all the groups. Right? So in the end, in the winter of 1991, actually the winter of 1991, before 1992, right? So, IFCSS, our organization was invited by, at that time still USSR, the Soviet Union's Youth Committee, to visit Soviet Union. It was a big deal. The Chinese government had to try to stop it. But in the end, Gorbachev and Shevardnadze got involved, so we were able to make our trip. Anyway, that was itself a long story, but I just get to the end of it. So, before we conclude our trip, our host, because I was in charge of, you know, interacting with our host, got me into get myself and the president of our organization into a room, the two, you know, and they told us, there's a spy, Chinese spy group. It's a 16-people delegation. This delegation represents Independent Federation of Chinese Student Scholars, a pro-democracy organization opposed to CCP. And these 16 people were supposed to be selected from this group. But how did they find out there's a spy in it? Well, there's something to do, has something to do with me. But I didn't intentionally do it. So there was an event that we participated that concluded early. So we have about 45 minutes extra, less than an hour extra time before we go to the next event. Right. So we were taking in this tourist bus to go to that event, but we have about an hour to burn. And so our Soviet host on the way just told me that, okay, not far from here, there is a this largest mall of the world. Do you want to see it? You have about an hour to burn. I say, okay, let's do it. I mean, so I was sitting next to it. So our tour bus took a quick turn. Right? And so we were there for half an hour. There's nothing to see anyway. It's a gigantic mall, but it's empty. There's no product. So
takes the fun out of it.
For about 40 minutes or so, we were there. Right? And then we were actually followed by the KGB. Our group were followed by them. So because our bus took a sudden detour, the KGB car lost us. And then within that 40 minutes or so, the Chinese consulate informed the KGB, so they're in this mall. Okay, and so they finally track us down in the mall. Right. So what happened is that one of the 16 delegation members informed the CCP, informed the Chinese consulate or embassy in Moscow, where we are. We never figure out who that person is, but we know there's a spy in. So that's how extensive that is.
Wow.
So pretty much if there are two people together anywhere in China, one of them's a spy.
And it's not me.
And if it's not you.
Yeah. So now
that's stressful.
So go back to Falun Gong. Right? So Falun Gong, once it was brought to the public, it became popular very quickly. And in the first couple of years, it grew to a large following with millions of people following. So the Chinese authorities sent people to go into a group, pretend to be practitioner. Right? Many of this story is quite a lot, actually. So some practitioner later would review, I was a Chinese agent. I was a government agent. I was sent to, be a member of yours and to report what illegal activity, what's bad about your group, and then, try to have something go against you. But after following you for this, long time, I realized this group is pure good. And so, I turned myself from a government agent to a true, genuine practitioner. So such kind of experience, such kind of sharing, there are a lot of it. So the government did try to infiltrate. And
just fumbled the ball there, picked the wrong guy.
Yeah. Well, but who knows? I mean, that may be some people just turned into true practitioners. Some people did not In fact, in my hand, I have a physical, I have a letter written by one of the so-called the practitioner to the Chinese authority. It fell into my hand is just another story. But I know that we know that we're infiltrated. But the thing about Falun Gong is this is a free-to-come, free-to-go group. Right? We have no regulation. We
no
have
membership
no
or anything
no
like that.
Right. There's no regulation. There's no rule. And if you want to come, you practice, and you follow, then welcome. And there's no, we have no mechanism to prohibit people from spying for the Chinese government. But meanwhile, we are not afraid either, because all we do are above board. Our activity, our participative public, the teaching of Falun Gong are online, freely downloadable. And everything is public. This is, but of course the CCP do not believe it.
They figure there's a whole underground where you guys are secretly.
Yeah.
It's a front. They figure it's a front. Well, because they're up to no good, so they figure you've got to be up to no good.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the only thing they know.
Yeah. So there's a fair amount of a misunderstanding towards Falun Gong. Bruce Moran, I saw his sharing with American intelligence.
Right, from a national security perspective.
They view us a threat.
Sure. You guys are, everybody doesn't like you. You must be doing something right, actually. It's kind of a kind of a badge of honor. I hate to say this, but we have literally burned through 2 hours again.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy. We really appreciate you coming on with us. This is a wonderful perspective and extremely timely. And I'm sure we'll be chatting with you again very soon. Thank you very much. Our guest has been Dr. Chen. You can find everything about this program at WeThePeopleRadio.us.